Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 29. In this episode, I will review an article about idarucizumab for dabigatran reversal, answer a drug information question, can I use rivaroxaban to treat a pulmonary embolism in a patient with active cancer, and share a resource I use that is a collection of evidence-based critical care guidelines. You can find the show notes for today's episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode29. The article I'd like to discuss today is titled Idarucizumab for Dabigatran Reversal. The lead author was Charles Pollock, and this was published in New England Journal of Medicine, August 6, 2015. Some background on the study. Idarucizumab for dabigatran reversal is in the news again since the FDA approved the drug on October 16, 2015. This article is an interim analysis of an ongoing study of idarucizumab, the reverse AD study. It was this study that the FDA based its approval of idarucizumab for dabigatran reversal. The purpose of the study was to determine the effects of idarucizumab, an antibody fragment that was developed to reverse the anticoagulant effects of dabigatran. The study is a prospective cohort using 5 grams of IV idarucizumab to reverse the anticoagulant effects of dabigatran in patients who had serious bleeding, that was termed group A, or required an urgent procedure, and that was termed group B. The primary endpoint is the maximum percentage reversal of the anticoagulant effect of dabigatran within 4 hours after the administration of idarucizumab. A secondary endpoint is the restoration of hemostasis. The results of the study or the interim analysis were thus. It included 90 patients who received idarucizumab, 51 patients in group A, 39 patients in group B. Among 68 of those patients with an elevated dilute thrombin time and 81 of them with an elevated Ekerin clotting time at baseline, the medium maximum percentage reversal was 100%. Idarucizumab normalized the test results in 88 to 98% of the patients, an effect that was evident within minutes. Among 35 patients in group A who could be assessed, hemostasis, as determined by the local investigators, was restored at a median of 11.4 hours. Among 36 patients in group B who underwent a procedure, normal intraoperative hemostasis was reported in 33. And mildly or moderately abnormal hemostasis was reported in 2 patients and 1 patient, respectively. 1 thrombotic event occurred within 72 hours after idarucizumab administration in a patient in whom anticoagulants had not been reinitiated. The authors concluded that idarucizumab completely reversed the anticoagulant effect of dabigatran within minutes. I checked with my purchasing pharmacist this week. Thanks, Mark. Idarucizumab is now available via dropship at a cost of $3,500 for a treatment course. It requires refrigeration, it's good for 48 hours at room temperature, and it's good for 6 hours if exposed to light. The dose of idarucizumab is 2 2.5-gram vials given by IV bolus or infusion over no more than 5 or 10 minutes each. This article will be the subject of journal club at my institution. I imagine it will be added to the formulary at our next pharmacy and therapeutics meeting. The drug information question is, can I use rivaroxaban to treat a pulmonary embolism in a patient with active cancer? The answer is probably. I took two approaches to answering this question. Reviewing the original study that the approval of rivaroxaban was based on, the Einstein PE investigator study, and reviewing the CHEST guidelines. The New England Journal of Medicine published the Einstein PE investigator's work titled Oral Rivaroxaban for the Treatment of Symptomatic PE in April 2012. This was a randomized, open-label trial of the efficacy and safety of rivaroxaban as compared with standard therapy consisting of enoxaparin and a vitamin K antagonist in patients who had acute symptomatic PE with or without DVT. The trial was sponsored by Bayer Healthcare and Janssen Pharmaceuticals. I wanted to review the study in answering the drug information question to find out how many patients with active cancer had been enrolled. I opened up a PDF of the study and used the search function, that's the Control F keys, to find the word cancer. There's only one instance of the word in the article, and it was in reference to adjusting the statistical analysis based on the presence of cancer or not. I knew that the information had to be recorded somewhere, so I went back to the New England Journal of Medicine website to find the supplementary material that was published alongside the article. Now, I've linked up to this material as well as the article in the show notes, pharmacyjoe.com/episode29. And the supplementary material for a published study often has key information needed to determine the external validity of a study. I used the same search function, Control F, in the supplementary document. I found that about 5% of the patients in the Einstein PE study had active cancer. Subgroup analysis for efficacy and safety did not find a difference in patients with active cancer compared to those without. Next, I went to the CHEST guidelines to see what their recommendation is for anticoagulating patients with PE and active cancer. Here are their recommendations. In patients with PE and cancer, we suggest low molecular weight heparin over warfarin therapy as a grade 2B recommendation. In patients with PE and cancer who are not treated with low molecular weight heparin, we suggest warfarin over dabigatran or rivaroxaban for long-term therapy as a grade 2C recommendation. Now, grade 2C is the weakest recommendation that the CHEST guidelines give. It is based on expert consensus, and they included some interesting details right below that recommendation. And they said treatment of VTE with dabigatran or rivaroxaban, in addition to being less burdensome to patients, may prove to be associated with better clinical outcomes than warfarin and low molecular weight heparin therapy. When these guidelines were being prepared, October of 2011, that's 4 years ago, post-marketing studies of safety were not available. Given the paucity of currently available data and that new data are rapidly emerging, we give a weak recommendation in favor of warfarin and low molecular weight heparin therapy over dabigatran and rivaroxaban, and we have not made any recommendation in favor of one of the new agents over the other. Now, reading this prompted me to do a PubMed search to see if any additional data had been published since October 2011 to help answer whether rivaroxaban can be used to treat PE in a patient with active cancer. In February 2015, in the CHEST Journal, a meta-analysis titled Direct Oral Anticoagulants in Patients with VTE and Cancer was published. This meta-analysis found 10 studies comparing direct oral anticoagulants with conventional anticoagulation for treatment of VTE, including patients with cancer. 6 studies were included in the meta-analysis, 2 with dabigatran, 2 with rivaroxaban, 1 with edoxaban, and 1 with apixaban, accounting for a total of 1,132 patients. Now, VTE recurred in 3.9% and 6% of patients with cancer treated with the direct oral anticoagulants and conventional treatment, respectively. Major bleeding occurred in 3.2% and 4.2% of patients receiving direct oral anticoagulants and conventional treatment, respectively. The authors of the meta-analysis concluded that direct oral anticoagulants seem to be as effective and safe as conventional treatment for the prevention of VTE in patients with cancer. Further clinical trials in patients with cancer-associated VTE should be performed to confirm these results. For me, this is enough information to say that a patient could be treated with rivaroxaban for PE if they have cancer, although it is certainly not enough data to recommend rivaroxaban over warfarin or enoxaparin. I'd love to know what your take on the data is. Are you comfortable using a 2015 meta-analysis to go against a 2C recommendation from CHEST based on 2011 data? Let me know at joe@pharmacyjoe.com. The resource I'd like to share in this episode is a collection of evidence-based guidelines written by the Surgical Critical Care and Acute Care Surgery teams at Orlando Regional Medical Center. These guidelines are freely available on the web, and you can get the link to them in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode29. Some key guidelines I have used from this site are post-splenectomy vaccine prophylaxis, electrolyte replacement, and seizure prophylaxis in traumatic brain injury. The electrolyte replacement guidelines in particular were a tremendous resource when it came time to create critical care electrolyte replacement guidelines at my institution. There are over 70 guidelines available at this website. Thank you to Orlando Regional Medical Center for developing and freely sharing these guidelines. I've created a page on my website that explains in detail the resources I use to help take care of patients. The page is divided into three sections: professional books, technology and apps, and personal, life-changing books. You can find this information at pharmacyjoe.com/resources. I only place a resource on this page if it is something that I use, trust, and think that you will find valuable. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.